Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is a podcast from the archives of The Fischko Files, on radio since 1999. I'm Sarah Fischko. Each week, I put together a personal essay on music, art, culture, or media. You can hear all of The Fischko Files, plus some of my one-hour documentaries and special programs on demand at WNYC.org. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC podcasts are supported by Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, providing comprehensive centers in cardiovascular services, interventional radiology, and cancer care. More information at www.holyname.org.
Chairman and CEO Ted Hartley's office at RKO Pictures in Century City is decorated with one spectacular item, the actual sled with the Rosebud logo from the actual set of the classic RKO movie Citizen Kane. That is one film Hartley is certain that will never be remade.
Rosebud.
There is no point in remaking that. Orson Welles took that as far as it could go, and it represents a triumph for that director of his vision.
Leslie Dixon, who wrote the remakes of The Thomas Crown Affair and Freaky Friday, agrees.
That's the cardinal rule. Don't remake something that is the finest film ever made. Don't remake Citizen Kane.
Also, Edwin Marshall of Harbor Light Entertainment. He's busy developing a remake of Rashomon, but still, some things are untouchable.
Take, for instance, probably, you know, the sacred cow of all would be Citizen Kane. Should that be remade? I don't think so.
But what about Orson Welles' second film as director, The Magnificent Ambersons, about a Midwestern family in the 19th century?
How lovely your mother is.
I think she is.
Not so sacred.
She's the gracefulest woman. She does.
It was remade a couple of years ago for A&E.
How lovely your mother is.
I think she is.
Studios like RKO and MGM, with long histories stretching back to talkie's golden age, comb their vaults for likely prospects for reconsideration. The allure of the remake is powerful.
Even with a Hitchcock film like Suspicion, which we're doing with Dimension.
Are you courting me?
Hitchcock was a superb director, and Cary Grant was great in that film. The only thing was the ending didn't quite work, and there were some slow spots in it.
The house that I was born in.
Hitchcock, of course, wasn't beyond remaking his own movies in different eras, different countries. Maybe he'd have loved the idea of someone, if not him, having another crack at Suspicion.
I love him.
In this case, the someone is to be director Philip Kaufman. He's not afraid to play around with old material. His 1978 Invasion of the Body Snatchers took that iconic picture of 50s fear and resituated it.
We spent months sort of discussing theories of the thing and alienation, you know, the sense of loss of self and so forth.
The Don Siegel original was about the takeover by aliens in a small town.
We took that paranoia of a small town and carried it into the big city where paranoia had begun to reside.
Matthew, I've lived in this city all my life, but somehow today I felt everything had changed. People were different. Not just Jeffrey, but everybody.
Remake something that might be a bit dated, but have a very good premise at the heart of it, and then reinvent it a bit, twist it, do something a little different to justify the remake's existence.
Round like a circle in a spiral.
That's what Leslie Dixon did for the remake of the trendy 60s movie The Thomas Crown Affair. She kept the title and the seductive patter between the two lead characters. She just dropped the plot.
I did not think that the critics would be out with their knives because I knew they'd all relook at the movie and go, oh, some interesting things, but some of it doesn't work. I was not committing an assault on a classic film.
The remake of The Thomas Crown Affair did pretty well in the marketplace, and so did Body Snatchers. Some remakes actually overtake the originals. The Judy Garland A Star Is Born comes to mind, and The Maltese Falcon.
We think of the Bogart version as sort of a definitive version, but in fact, it was the third version that studio had made.
Stuart Y. McDougall co-edited the book Play It Again, Sam, Retakes on Remakes.
We've forgotten about the earlier two versions because they're not nearly as good, and John Huston somehow captured something about the novel, which has made it a permanent part of our film world.
And then there are the ones that don't do well at all. Poor Jonathan Demme remade everybody's favorite mystery romance, Charade.
Do we know each other?
Cary Grant and Audrey Hepburn, no less, playing cat and mouse.
Because I already know an awful lot of people, and until one of them dies, I couldn't possibly meet anyone else.
He remade it as The Truth About Charlie, to bad reviews and worse box office. A bit of a disaster, but Demme recovered quickly and has recently made a much-praised documentary. And what is he doing at the moment? He's putting finishing touches on his remake of John Frankenheimer's Cold War thriller, The Manchurian Candidate, with Denzel Washington in the Frank Sinatra role and Meryl Streep as that memorable mother, originally played by Angela Lansbury. Ah, the allure of the remake. Perhaps the ultimate remade film, more of a reproduction, really, is the mysterious Gus Van Sant version of Psycho.
Very nice.
You have a vacancy?
Van Sant went all the way with it, using the same script Hitchcock used and many of the same framings of the same shots he used.
Cabin one. It's closer in case you want anything. Right next to the office.
It's not a remake. It's a copy.
Cabin one. It's closer in case you want anything. Right next to the office.
Van Sant said at the time it was an attempt to popularize a classic. Never mind that it was already among the most popular and profitable films in history. It baffled critics and audiences alike. It also angered them. People do get testy about remakes of their favorites. Philip Kaufman shudders when recalling a moment during the shooting of Body Snatchers with the actor Kevin McCarthy in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco. A spectator, a somewhat scruffy-looking street person, caught his eye.
This guy was pretty high on something, as evidenced by the fact that he had taken all his clothes off, and he was sort of lying, using the curb as a headrest, watching a shoot just off camera, and then he sort of called Kevin and myself over. Kevin was running into the car, screaming, they're here, and he said, are you guys shooting Invasion of the Body Snatchers? And we said, yeah. He said, the original was better. you can't be deterred by purists who are lying in wait for you.
So, at this point, why not Citizen Kane? Why not get a new sled already? You can still keep the old one. Films are immutable. Once they're made, they're made. Maybe an original is made even more glorious by the fact that through all the sometimes misguided efforts to remake it, it somehow endures and shines. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko. Thanks for listening to today's podcast from the archives of the Fischko Files from WNYC New York Public Radio. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member today at WNYC.org. See you next week for another installment of The Fischko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio.